Good morning. My name is Andy Colomb. I'll be the worship leader today. Welcome to Zion Mennonite Church. So there's always a little bit of excitement when I hear that Frank is preaching. And so the fact that I was able to be worship leader on the same day as him is like it's a special thing for me. And then on top of that, the fact that the selected scriptures is from Paul, which we've had lots of discussions about Paul. I struggle a little bit with Paul on occasion. So I look forward to hearing what Frank has to say. But this is one of my favorite quotes. We'll start off with the welcome with a quote from Rob Bell, one of my favorite writers, from a book called Velvet Elvis. He says, "The point of the cross isn't forgiveness. Forgiveness leads to something much bigger, restoration. God isn't just interested in the covering of our sins. God wants to make us into the people we were originally created to be. It is not just the removal of what's being held against us. It's God pulling us into the people he originally had in mind when he made us. The restoration is why Jesus always orients his message around becoming the kind of people who are generous and loving and compassionate. The goal here isn't simply to not sin. Our purpose is to increase the shalom in this world, which is why approaches to the Christian faith that deal solely with not sinning always fail. They aim at the wrong thing. It is not about what you don't do. The point is becoming more and more the kind of people God had in mind when we were first created. It is one thing to be forgiven. It is another thing to become more and more the person God made you to be." So I'd like to encourage you to come up if you have any announcements. I will begin with the first announcement. So I know some of you guys are waiting to hear who won the treasure hunt. So it was really difficult. I've already mentioned this. It's difficult for me to keep secrets. So this was a really hard thing for me. I don't think I've turned in the slide, but it's back there. I almost went and circled it, but then I thought some of you guys might walk by and look at it a little bit longer, so I wanted it to be like a true reveal. So the first clue was where kids take their first steps, all right? And the second clue was more than just a part of the body. So the way I was thinking with this was there are several places that kids take their first steps. You have the nursery, you have the way down to the Sunday school children. You have the way up to the high school MYF room, and then you also have the children's story right here. So that's the first location. But then to narrow it even further, more than part of the body is an organ. So the organ. And so the exact location was as close to the organ as you can get on the first step. Now, there were two people that were very, very close, and we actually had to measure it to see who was closest. And so Kelly Yoder won the 4 hours at MYF. So. And again, in the bulletin, just to highlight, thank you. That fundraiser earned $900 for us, so we really appreciate that. So.
Okay, well, I hope that all of you that helped, I want to say thank you again, and I hope you know how much you are appreciated. And all the people that worked in the kitchen, I mean, that is a really big job, making all that soup and serving, and really appreciate that. We had an attendance of 743 guests, so we were up a little bit from last year, which was good. It was really low last year, but the weather wasn't so nice, so we're really glad for that. 743 guests. And our donations came to something over $3,800, and that's also good. I don't have the figures for One Fair World for yesterday, but both of Thursday and Friday, they did a little over $2,000 worth of business. So that was good. And I'd like to share with you, boy, this is echoing bad. I'd like to share with you some comments that were heard. Thank you so much for doing this. The food is so good. And this is good for the soul. thank you, this was fun, and I really needed this. So I think it's a great thing that we do. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you for all your help.
I'll take this time also to put a plug in again for a basic faith exploration class for anyone who's interested in knowing more, who's not a member or has not been baptized, wants to know more about the Christian faith and the Mennonite perspective on it. Please let me know if you're interested in such. We have one other person. I would like there to be a few more. We'll go with however many we have. Secondly, there may be somebody here who has not had the chance of ever leading worship but would be interested in doing so. We have an opening next week. We're having a hard time filling in that particular Sunday. So if you've done it before and think, I am free, or I've never done it before, I would be very glad to coach and help that person. Let me know if you are available and interested.
Our call to worship is in your worship book, page 659. Yeah, the blue book. Number 659. Grace unto you and peace from God, who was and who is to come. In love, Jesus Christ suffered death to free us from our sins. Jesus Christ be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Stand.
Please join me as we sing some worship songs to start out with. As I was singing through this first song this week, it just struck me the phrase, sing like never before. And I imagine the day that we'll be singing in front of our Lord, and we probably won't sing, we'll sing like we never did before then, but practice right now.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. Worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. Draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I love to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
I'd like you to take the insert of the song that's in your bulletin and stand as we sing this next one.
As there's a flower within the seed, as in the cone a tree, so praise the God of truth and grace, His Spirit dwelleth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation is that Christ liveth in me. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see, but in God's word the light I found. Now Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation is that Christ liveth in me. As rays of light from yonder sun,
to invite the ushers forward for the offering. Our offertory prayer is based off of today's scripture reading from Galatians 6. Let's pray. Father God, let our offering be pleasing and acceptable to you. Let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued in offering our all. At the right time, our offerings will harvest a good crop, especially if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, and every time we get the chance, let us give for the benefit of all, starting with the people all around us. Amen. Scripture passage, Galatians 6, 1 through 10, I've chosen the Message translation to read from. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness ignores the needs of others. Ignoring God harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God lets God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvesting a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. It's time for the children's story, Frank. And children, you guys can come forward.
This on? Yeah. I need a couple of grown-ups or older kids to help with this, because this is either going to go really well or this is going to be a disaster. Jana was going to do this morning, so I'm sorry for what you're about to see. She's homesick, and she told me at, 8 o'clock? Hey, I need you to do that. Thumbs up, Jana. Okay. I want you guys to all stand up and make some room for yourselves. Stand up. Mary, you too, you got to stand up. You got to do this with us. Thank you. Hey, where's your boy? Where is he? Is he in here? Oh, man. I got it. Okay, stand up and make a little room for yourselves, okay? Remember what we talked about this morning? I'm going to teach you to a dance. I'm going to show it. We're going to dance in a Mennonite church. Some bishop just rolled over in his bones. All right? So are we ready? So just make some room for yourselves and watch what I do. I want you to take one step forward and one step back. And one step back. Don't step on anybody's toes. And one step forward. And then just one time, don't freak out here. Turn around and hands. Big smile face. So let's do that together. Ready? Let's do it again. One forward, one back. One back, one forward. Turn around. Happy hands. Ah, you guys are great. What a bunch of perfect little Christians. One more time. Ready? One step forward, one step back. One step forward, one step back. Turn around. Happy hands. Follow the leader. Well done. Okay, now we're going to do a different dance. So make a little space because this will be a little bit more fun. And Roger's going to play some music and a video, and you can watch it up there if you want to. But this time I want you to just dance any old which way you want to. Okay, ready, Roger? Cue it up. Look at this. Look at those kids dancing. You dance any way you want. Come on, Redmond. I know you can dance. It's truly profound. Look at these guys go. Not pretty, is it? Yeah. That's great. You guys are doing good. You got it going on, Levi. No. I know. It's the Mennonite in you. Ah, you guys did good. Thank you. That's going to help me from really embarrassing myself later. So thanks for helping me with that. You guys can go back. Actually, that's just where we're at. Let's just do a quick break. Lord, thank you that you love us. Amen. Thank you. That was a good prayer. All right. I'm going to do my inner Matthew here. I'm going to pretend to be Matthew this morning. We'll see how that goes. I'm going to preach from down here. You don't want to look at me anyway. I'm speaking this morning on Galatians, the book of Galatians. Did everybody read it this week? You don't have to show hands. Okay, who read it? Good. About half of you are going to make it to heaven here, so that's good. And thank you, Andy, for what you did this morning. I'm sure that was a huge honor for you. I know exactly what you meant. Okay, I'm going to speak on Galatians, and I'm going to be building on what Matthew and Lynn and Janice started on. So this is just another part of the Spirit series about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. But before I do, I want to share this story with you. It's kind of short, but I think it fits. About 4 weeks ago, I had the chance to go down to Salem Mennonite and preach down there, and I've done that a couple of times over the last couple of years. And they have this tradition of getting everybody together that's in the worship shepherd's service together in the pastor's study, and we sit down and we talk about what we're going to do in the service, the order of the service, kind of the spirit of the service, and it's really kind of a cool thing, and then we pray together. Well, 4 weeks ago, I sat down, we got through the whole thing, and the worship leader gives me a look of concern, and he says, Frank, I think there's something I need to warn you about. And I thought, I haven't even opened up my mouth, and I'm already in trouble. And that's how I felt. That's kind of my nature. But what he said was this. He said, there's this guy that's been coming to our service over the last several months, and he worships in a fairly unconventional way. And I said, how is that? And he says, well, he sits up in the front, doesn't he? He sits up in the front left-hand pew over here, which is weird in itself. But he doesn't stay put. He just gets up whenever he wants to, and he wanders around, and he looks at things, and he'll wander up on the stage and do his little deal. It's just who he is. And I wanted to give you a heads up because I didn't want you to be distracted or concerned or bothered by that. So it was a good heads up. So I went in, sat down as close to the back as I could. They save that for parents with small children, which is just wrong. But I sat as far back as I could, watched people come up and come in. And sure enough, pretty soon he comes up and he sits right over here, sits down. And before the service even starts, he pops back up and he wanders up on stage and he's looking at things and smelling the fake flowers. And there's a little box up there with children's stuff, and he gets down on his hands and knees and rifles through it, goes back and sits down. And then during the singing and during the prayer time and during the scriptures, up and down, up and down, up and down. Nobody seemed too bugged by it, but it's just who he was. And then I got up and I did my spiel. And for whatever reason, maybe it's his custom, he sat through the whole long, hideous thing. He just sat there. And I preached that morning with my glasses off because I needed to use my notes quite a bit. So I couldn't really see anybody with my glasses off except for him over here on my right. And Jennifer Gingrich over my left. Not old Jennifer Gingrich, young Jennifer Gingrich. So she's not even here. I saved that just for her. Anyway, so they were the only two people I could see on Keon, and he seemed fairly engaged. And when I'm all done, I went and I sat down over here because I had to give the sending words. And when I sat down, I was tired and frustrated. And to be honest with you, I really was just feeling like I hadn't done a good job, that I really didn't present very well. It went on and on. It was preachy, and it just, I didn't feel good. And so my worship was over. I mean, I sat there and felt sorry for myself, had a little pity party. We sang another song. Then the elder gets up, and she stands up here, and she starts the prayer and air time, which is another one of my favorite things in church. And so she's up there doing that, and I'm sitting there, and out of the corner of my eye, I see him, and he's looking right at me. And I look back at him, and I smile, and he smiles back, and he pops up, and he sidles to the middle aisle, walks around behind the elder, and comes over to where I'm sitting. It was pretty special. And he reaches out both of his hands just like this. And I set my Bible down. I set my hands in his hand, and he grips them, and he leans over, and he says, just like this, "Good sermon. Good sermon." And he wandered down to the end of the aisle, and I thought he was going home, which is what I wanted to do. But instead, he walked back up. He put on his big winter red coat, just big and puffy, and stood right here, didn't he? And just looked at everybody like, "Isn't it time to go home now?" What a blessing. What a blessing. I was not going to get emotional this morning, but I was just so touched by that. It was special. But the thing I took away that was bigger than that, and I think is more profound, is he was completely free in that space, kind of like our kids are. Just completely free to be who he was and worship the way he wanted to. He wasn't stepping on anybody's toes. And what was cool, Salem felt like, I mean, it was fine. Freedom, right? That's what Galatians is about. Freedom. Freedom to worship God in the Spirit. Free from the law. Free from the desires of our flesh. Free from our carnal nature, Christian-y word. Free to live in Christ the way he wants us to live with him, dancing with our Creator. That's Galatians. That's Galatians. And I think it's worth kind of setting up what happened in Galatia, what's going on at the time. Paul is about 20, 25 years into his ministry. He's a missionary out in Asia. And the churches around Jerusalem are beginning to take root. And Peter is kind of the supreme person over that development. Well, during this time, a number of Jews had gotten the idea that it would be a good idea to go into the Church of the Way and begin to teach them, yes, Jesus was a good prophet, yes, he was a good man, good teacher, maybe even the Messiah. So certainly he would not want us to abandon the laws and the traditions of the elders. Certainly he wouldn't want to take what our forefathers built and just trash that and start over. Certainly he would want to build on that. So we don't want just Christ alone. We want Christ plus the law, plus their traditions. And by the way, they're teaching this, by the way, you know that guy Paul? You know, he's not really a real apostle. So make you happy, Andy. He's not a real apostle. He wasn't with Jesus. And he's taking this message out to the Galatians, and he's cheapening it. He's making it too soft. He's making it too easy. He wants to please people and have lots of converts, and that's why he's got it all messed up. Well, Paul caught wind of this, and he writes this letter, and he says at the end, it's the one letter that he wrote in his own hand with big letters. He couldn't see very good, so he always he had scribes write his letters for him, but he writes this one himself and saying, so kind of like when you get an email that's in all caps, "I mean this, I'm saying this," and it's very forceful. I think it's Paul at his grumpiest, glorious best, in defense not of himself, but of the gospel. And so I've taken about a dozen snippets out of the first part of Galatians, and I'm just going to read them, and I'm going to try to kind of read them maybe the way I hear Paul saying them, so it's offensive to you, blame Paul, so it's right up there. And if I take off my glasses, I'm going to knock my mic off. I'll do my best. He starts it out. This is the very beginning of the book. "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. It's nonsense. Some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So listen, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let them be eternally condemned. It's worth saying again, if anyone teaches you a gospel other than the gospel of Christ, let them be eternally damned. Nice guy. These matters arose because some false teachers have infiltrated the ranks to spy on the freedom that we have in Christ and to make us slaves to the law again. And when Peter, remember, Supreme Peter, came to Antioch, I got all up in his face. And why did I get up in his face? Because he was totally, clearly wrong. For when certain men from James came to him, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to pull back. And he separated himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who were of the circumcision group. You knuckleheads. You idiots. You foolish people. This is a strong word. You foolish Galatians. Who played this trick on you? Who bewitched you? Who fooled you? Are you that foolish and ignorant? Are you going to begin your life by means of the Spirit, and now you're trying to finish by means of the law? Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under the law. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, and faith alone. I love this next verse. There is neither Jew, nor Gentile, nor Catholic, nor Mennonite, nor slave, nor free, nor male, nor female. We are all one. Now that you know God, or better said, now that you are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak, miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by the laws and religious traditions all over again? I am again in pain for you until Christ is truly formed in you. How I wish I could use a different tone. But I'm truly put off by you, truly perplexed. It's for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened by the yoke of slavery again. Mark my words. Listen to this. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves follow those traditions, Christ is of no value to you at all. That's strong. Again, I declare to you, if any man who lets himself be circumcised, he's obligated to obey the whole law, at which he will fail. You are now trying to be justified by the law. In doing so, you have alienated yourself from Christ. This is strong stuff. You want to hear it even stronger? What about those teachers who came in and encouraged you to get circumcised? I wish they'd just go all the way and cut it all off. Really? Don't go in for a trim job, just lop it off. It's harsh. Sorry, I know. It's every guy in the whole room just went like that. Right? Strong words. So Paul finishes like this. I tell you, if you want to walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of yourself. You won't. Because the flesh desires one thing, and the Spirit desires the other thing. And if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Seems pretty direct. The acts of the flesh are still obvious. Sin is still obvious. Sin is what it is. It always has been, always will be. There's nothing we can do about that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my least favorite, self-control. Against these things there is no law. So that is how Paul is setting up chapter 6 that we'll get to. But I want to say this. At this point in my preparation, I thought, boy, I can think of probably umpteen billion things that have happened in the last two centuries that were churches or people focused on the law and figuring out where the line was and drawing the line and doing nothing but separate and break people, even causing crusades and all kinds of nonsense by focusing on some strict line of the law. And it's a waste of time at best, and creates tremendous damage at the worst. And so that's why I did what I did with the kids up here. Because what Paul's calling to us to is a dance. It's always been a dance, an individual dance that we each do with our Creator. You, each one of us alone with our Creator, focused on our Creator through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to. But before Christ and after Christ, people and churches and denominations keep interpreting it as a line dance or a choreographed dance or something that we try to do all the same, all the time. And it was never intended to be that way. And you know why it keeps happening? It's because it's easier. It's easier for me to behave myself if I do just what my mom says or my dad says. Or it's easier if there's some dynamic, charismatic, wonderful leader that stands up in front of us and says, "This is the way to go. Let's go there in lockstep together." It's just easier. But being in relationship with God, myself, responsible for my own decisions, responsible for my own love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, that's tough work. But remain in the vine. Remain in the vine, and these kinds of fruits will be produced in you. I'm tempted to move on, and I should. I don't want to hold you forever, but there's something I want to teach here that I think is important. It's really for another sermon. You can pick up Romans chapter 14 someday and give it to us. Read Romans chapter 14. This is where Paul gets to this issue, and I'm just going to set it up this way. And I'm being faithful, I think, to what's written there. Maybe not. Maybe I've misinterpreted it. But you got person A over here, and they're living their life in the Spirit of God, and their conscience tells them, "I can live like this before my Creator. This is my dance. And I can do that with a clear conscience." And you got person B over here that is living in the Spirit of God, for reals. And his conscience says, "I can't do that. I can't go there. That's across the line for me." And they're both living in the Spirit of God. So you know what Paul tells them to do? He says, what you need to do is get the whole congregation, the whole body together, and open up the Word and listen to the Spirit and all work out just exactly where that line is. And then let them know that they're either on the right or wrong side of the line. That's what he says in Romans, right? No. Not at all. That's not what he says. What does he say in Romans chapter 14? If brother A has made peace with God, brother B has made peace with God, keep your mouth shut. Keep it between you and God. You don't want your liberality to stumble your brother who might be more conservative, and you don't want your conservative brother crawling over and breaking the ribs of the guy over here on your left. It's wrong. There's an old saying that I was taught a long time ago that I wish I did better. Is it more important to be right or to be reconciled? And the answer is that keeping the peace is the primary function of the body of Christ, regardless of whatever nonsense we're caught up in this time. Boy, look at even the history of Zion. God in our midst. Read through that book and look at all of the times that we were broken apart and shattered by some foolish discussion about what's right and wrong. It's not our job. I had somebody when I was having this conversation just recently say, "Well, Frank, that sounds all well and good, but where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line?" You know what Paul's answer to that is in Romans 2? You guys are lousy at drawing lines. Because it's not your job. That's the job of God. God knows what's right and wrong. Most of us have a pretty good feel of it. But as soon as we try to draw the lines for others, we make a huge mistake. A huge mistake. I'm sorry, I knew I was going to go off the rails there. It's not even what I'm preaching about. You'll have to pick that up sometime. Almost done. We get to our text, Roger. So all that being said, all of this freedom, what do we do when the situation that Andy read to us earlier, what do we do when the situation arises when our brother is caught in a sin? What do we do? Because sin is still real. And maybe a better way to translate that is, what do we do when our brother or our sister is living by the flesh instead of by the Spirit? What do we do? Those of us who are actually faithful and walking in the Spirit should go up to them and set them straight. Let them know that what they're doing is wrong and to fix it. No, that's not it. No, here's another one. We should go to our brother and sister and say, hey, you know what? I know things are rough and I know there's some consequences, but look, really, that's just the human condition. This really doesn't have that much to you. Don't beat yourself up so bad. It's not really wrong. That's not it either. Neither one of those things are where we should be. Where we should be is in the Spirit of God, restoring that brother or sister with gentleness and patience and love, and to pick up and bear their burden. A buddy of mine and I do a lot of backpacking, and on numerous occasions we've run into people that are on the trail and they're done. I mean, they're sitting there 2 miles from their camp and they're used up and done and their pack is sitting there and they can't move. And so we take off our packs, put them in the bush, pick up their pack. True story, pick up their pack. Stinky and smelly as it is, you'd like to hold it like this, but you can't. You'd like to hold it like this, but you can't carry it. You'd like to take a 10-foot pole. This one guy, stinky guy, way out here, can't do it. Got to stick it up on your back. Carry it out. This one gal that we were walking out, Steve was carrying her pack. She had been sick. We tried to rehydrate her, and I've got my arm around her. We're helping her up the trail, and she looks over with kind of a sickly look and pukes down the front of me. Sorry, it's indelicate, but it's true. It's a good reminder that carrying somebody's burden, yes, it's messy, it's stinky, it's hard. It's not easy work, but you can do it in the Spirit. And as we've heard earlier, if somebody thinks there's something, if somebody thinks they have it all figured out, and I'm going to help you out because I've got it figured out, they really deceive themselves. And what they really need to do is test their own actions so they can take some pride in themselves, not by comparing themselves to somebody else. Not comparing themselves to their brother that's fallen, that's in trouble, and say, oh man, I wouldn't have gone there if I was you, and I'm sure glad I didn't. Right? And also not saying, and this is a trickier one, it really is, not looking around at your church family while you're bearing somebody's burdens and helping them out and nobody's helping you help them, and you get all cranky and upset because nobody's helping you carry the burden that you were called to carry. That's no good. It's between you and God, you and God and your brother. And that's it. That's all. And then at the end of the day, when we receive that instruction, remember to give all good things to the instructor, which is who? Christ. When we work this all out and it all goes good, then we get to take that to Christ and set it free to Him, and we're free to live again in the Spirit. Right? What a great place to stop. What a great place to stop. Especially here at this church. What a great place to stop and just be done. But Paul doesn't leave us there, and I think the next thing that he says is really critical. He says, don't kid yourself. God, God cannot be mocked. What was true at the beginning of time is true right now, and it'll be true until all of us are gone and up in heaven or wherever we wind up. God is not mocked. There is a difference between life in the Spirit and life in the flesh. There's a difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And even though we don't draw the lines, He does. And it's always going to be this way. A man is going to reap what he sows. If you sow by the flesh, if you live for your own selfish desires, you will get pain and suffering and sorrow. And hopefully there will be a brother or two that can kind of help you with that burden and lead you back to life in the Spirit. But if you sow in the Spirit, it's all good. You get love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, self-control. Those things come to you. They aren't something that you put on. They're something that you receive. So as Andy read earlier, in all of this freedom that we have in the Spirit, don't get tired. Don't fatigue. Stay with it. Stay in the vine. Live in the Spirit, as hard as that might be. and you'll reap a reward of life. Amen.
If that man from Salem, Mennonite was here this morning, Frank, he'd say, good sermon. Would you turn in the green Sing and Rejoice books to number 32? Page 32 in the green book. We'll sing through this song twice. So,
if you believe and I believe, and we together pray, the Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free, and set God's people free, and set God's people free. The Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free. If you believe and I believe, and we together pray, the Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free, and set God's people free, and set God's people free. The Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free.
Thank you indeed, Frank, for not only the insight, but the passion you bring, and that also encourages us. And for all who are visiting today, I'm Matthew Swara, one of the two pastors here. The other one is Janet Gingrich, who cannot be with us today. She woke up feeling fairly bad this morning, tummy bug of some sort. So please keep her in your prayers. Frank, I really appreciate it. Again, I come away from the message thinking of life in the Spirit as the life of God's Spirit within us and among us as well. Thank you. What is the Spirit saying through the church, either in response to the message or in by way of any testimonies or blessings or cares or concerns that we can bring together to God in prayer this morning or this week? If you have any such, please raise your hand and I'll bring you the mic. Yes, Lauren.
I probably should have put this in the bulletin, but I wasn't thinking far enough ahead. On Wednesday the 27th, Vernon Gaylor turns 96 years old. 2 years ago, I didn't think he'd see his 94th birthday, but he's still coming along. If you'd like to send a card, you can put it either in my mailbox. It won't matter that he gets it a little late. Or you can send it to 1589 South Ivy, Apartment 107.
Thank you. Cassidy, good to see you with us today. Craig.
I know Jen would want to be here. I just wanted to share a story from back when we were in the panhandle of Texas, Jen and I, and we went to a small Quaker church there, and that church, like Zion, had its form of worship, the way they sang and the way they carried themselves. They were a mix of silent friends and evangelical friends, if you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of strains of Quakers, just like there is a lot of strain of Mennonites. And one of the parts they'd have in a service is they would have a reflection of the topic. So like we were asked to pray about and think about Galatians, they've been thinking about whatever topic. And there was a lady there, her name was Maggie Dixon, that had a farm south of town. And she was in her upper 80s, wealthy beyond reason, and a leathery face because she worked the fields, drove a tractor. She was worth millions. And after there was this quiet time of reflection, like's common in their tradition, she stood up to sing. And she said, I'm going to sing. I don't know that I can sing, but it's what I do on my tractor. To this day, that's the greatest music I've ever heard in my life. She couldn't sing a note. The entire church was weeping. And it was the Spirit of God. It was beautiful. And I somehow think that that's a piece of what we're hearing in the message this morning, to do our own dance. Do not be ashamed. And anyway, I was touched by that.
Thank you, Craig. I see a hand there. Okay. And your name?
Grayson.
Grayson, okay.
I was gonna ask, that Papa's Allie would feel better.
Papa Chad, his knee will feel better.
Papa Chad's knee, okay. For Papa Chad's knee to feel better. Okay. We will indeed keep that in mind. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Grayson, yes. I invite you then to join me in prayer. And our prayer together closes with the Lord's Prayer in the version that you find printed in the bulletin. So don't worry if you have it memorized or have the same exact wording that we have. You can use whatever you're used to or what's also in our bulletin. So please join me in prayer. Spirit of God, you through whom God, you give us of yourself, through whom you, O Lord, are present in us and among us and with us, so often in ways that are too subtle to see, but also in ways that are there right from the beginning of the creation of each person, their personality, their gifts, their talents, their strengths, and the ministries you give. Oh Lord, those are evidences of your Spirit still hovering over the waters of creation and creating. We know you also, dear God, in the things that we share in common. Love, being loved, loving, oh Lord, a hunger and desire for you and for each other. Oh God, these are the ways that by your Spirit you make us each unique and distinct, as well as, Lord, of one flesh, one ancestor, partaking of one Spirit, sharing a common faith and hope and love, oh God. Thank you for the message that Frank has brought to us, the passion and will, as well as the words. And we pray, O God, that your Spirit would continue to work and to flow among us and within us, indeed creating these fruits and qualities of character, such as love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and steering us away, O God, from those works of the carnal nature. We know that no law or rules simply are enough to prevent us from falling into them. And make us, O God, by your Spirit, the community that bears each other's burdens, but also which respects each other's burdens too, and our own. Lord, we thank you for the life of Vernon, his love, and the service, and the fruits of his labors that we see all over the county and the community. Bless him with this 96th birthday coming up, Lord. And we thank you for all who are visiting us today. And Lord, yes, we add our faith to that of Grayson, asking that Papa Chad's knee will indeed feel better and he'll be able to do all the things in all the places that he loves, O Lord. Bless the ministries of this church. Thank you for the quilt workshop that we just had. Thank you for the testimonies of beauty, skill, friendship, and hospitality, and for those ministries. And we pray, O God, that they will continue to bless people, all who participate and all who simply receive. And Lord, we thank you for our connections with this community through our partnerships with the Canby Center, with Bridging Cultures Canby, with the Canby Pregnancy Center, and others, O God, Mennonite Disaster Service. Bless those ministries and all who engage in them, all who are involved in English language teaching and in advocacy and support for the stranger and the sojourner. Thank you for our partners all around the world, such as in Bolivia, in Burkina Faso, and in Mexico. Bless our connections with them, that the fruits of the Spirit through them would also feed and flow into our lives. For we are part of one body worldwide through all the centuries, praying as you, Lord, taught us whenever we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If I could have this on. I commend to your prayers as well. I realize this is the last Sunday. I don't know if we have Jean and Judy Gasho with us. Let's keep them in our prayers, for as I understand, you are going to be serving with soup in Arizona very soon, and then also Ken and Nancy Beachy. And if you don't know, SOUP stands for Service Opportunities with Our Partners, or otherwise Service Opportunities for Outstanding People. And we look forward to hearing about your ministry and service experience in Arizona. May God bless your service and travel.
Please stand as we sing a sending song and then remain standing for the benediction. 421 in the blue hymnal. We'll sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. 421.
Let's be.